Hi, I'm Nicole, and I'm a fake fan.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, I'm Calvin, and I am a fake fan as well.
Hi, Calvin.
Hi, my name is Tristan, and I'm a fake fan. And the only movies I've seen is the National Treasure duology.
Hi, Tristan. Also same.
So today we watched Indiana Jones, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. This is a 2008 movie, and I guess the final film in the whole Indiana Jones series until perhaps a fifth one comes out. When?
Oh, it's confirmed. It's coming out 2022.
I'm going hard. I'm going all the way.
Harrison Ford signed up. If he's on board, then sure, I'll watch it. Why not?
I signed up and I'm on board. Like, we do this together.
Adventure Grandpa. Dude's going to be 80 when it comes out. Adventure Grandpa.
He's Adventure Grandpa, but it's kind of like, he's not my grandpa at this point, you know? It's like, Adventure Daddy, you know, it was like, wow, yeah, he's my, but Adventure Grandpa is like, that's just a senior citizen you see at like a grocery store, like.
Yo, bro, you think he was rusty in this? Get ready. He's going to have a walker and he's going to be fighting off, I don't know, the Viet Cong, I guess.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to be like probably like 60s, 70s, right?
80s? I think 80s maybe, because this was late 50s.
Okay.
Well, it's been like 10 years, so maybe like late 60s, 70s probably. Yeah.
Like getting like Cold War.
So we'll still be fighting Russians. It's going to be Kate Blanchett, but in a different wig this time.
I hate those guys.
But she's Vietnamese this time.
Oh, no. No, that'd be Scarlett Johansson, dude.
Oh, my God. They, like, really pull a Katharine Hepburn with that one.
Ooh.
Have you ever seen that? Like, the stills from that movie where
Which one?
I can't remember what the movie's called, but they made Katharine Hepburn she was like a main character in the movie, but they made her Asian, like she's Asian.
I know that they did that with Mickey Rooney.
Oh yeah,
right? Yeah.
But like in this one, she's like, I think she's like a main character.
Exterior jungle, helicopters roll past, Fortunate Son plays.
You see Katharine Hepburn and Mickey Rooney. Like throw a moment.
I think Indiana Jones 5, because it's directed by James Mangold, who did Logan. It's going to be a Logan movie. It's
going to
be
Wolverine.
It's going to be Indiana Jones, and he's going to be like, those were all stories. I lost my son during the Crystal Skull.
What if he loses his son in Vietnam? And like, that's why they're not going to have Shia LaBeouf like be in the movie, because like he's peacing out or something.
That would be a good reason to have him not in the movie. Like they fucking axe Sean Connery in this one. They're like, my son's drafted into Vietnam. I got to go save my son.
And then like, is there any like, okay, Calvin, is there any like Vietnamese mythology? I mean, it's Buddhism.
There's plenty. I mean, my guess is if this ends up being a Vietnam War era Indiana Jones, it could look a lot more like Apocalypse Now. Remember that like whole temple?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to remember
people
it.
There.
I don't like it.
That would be really cool. Heart of Darkness type of story. Indiana Jones is going deeper.
He goes Harrison to a crazed out village.
Yeah, yeah. Harrison Ford is actually in Apocalypse
was.
Now.
He's
one
of
is the he really?
Now. Yeah, he was like, it was like a cameo, wasn't it? Yeah, he was in it very briefly.
Like
he's in the beginning. He's in the beginning as part of the U.S. command guys who are telling. Who's the main character? Is it Martin Sheen?
I remember Lawrence Fishburne was in it, and that's it. I don't really remember Apocalypse Now. I kind of zoned out.
I remember
that
when
whole
we
movie.
Watched that. Okay, so like a little fake fans, Lord, we watched that movie, right? For yeah. One of our, like, before we started the podcast. Oh, God. I definitely zoned out because I had to.
I wasn't a big fan. I liked the look of the temple area that Marlon Brando was, but the rest of the movie, I was just like, I'm not feeling it.
I like it, but part of it is because I learned about the Heart of Darkness archetype, which this is based off of. So, like, if you can understand and connect it to all the other Heart of Darkness films and stories and video games, it would make a lot more sense, I think. Huh? Well, Heart of Darkness is an archetype. It's a book about, I think, West Africa. Some British soldier guy has to go into West Africa because there's some crazed British soldier who's like taking control of something and is doing some horrible things or something like that. But as he's going along and as he's reading the dossier about the guy, he's learning like he's a lot like me. Maybe I could go crazy. Maybe I'm going crazy. And is that kind of story. So that if you understand the Heart of Darkness archetype and, you know, can connect that, then it kind of makes a bit more sense. And like, I personally enjoyed it a lot
soldiers
more.
Soldiers going cray cray.
Yes. Crazy. Yeah. The fact that like you as an individual, your tenuous connection to being a civilized person is very thin, you know, and you could become a evil, crazed war criminal of your own if you were in the right circumstances kind of thing. That's the kind of the story archetype of it. But if you understood that and you kind of connect that, then Apocalypse Now makes a lot more sense and you can kind of like really get a sense of that. But if you're just thrown into a war movie, especially because, Nicole, you don't even like war movies or gratuitous violence, I could understand why it's not
your
cup of tea.
I just think, too, like, I mean, like, in high school, you grow up knowing how, like, messed up it made veterans coming home and stuff like that. I feel like even then you could still kind of get it. Like, these people, like, legit went insane. And, like, something like that could happen.
So you're telling me that Indy is going to go into Vietnam and go crazy looking for his son?
Yeah. And
that's what Indiana Jones 5 is going to be, and then he's going to be impaled like Logan did at the end of Logan. And Shia LaBeouf is going to cry and then go and join the X-Men kids.
That's what I hope it could be, like a dark version. And for any Lucasfilm Disney execs listening in, I'm suing your ass if it ends up being this way.
Yo, James Mangold, hire us. Don't take George Lucas's script. Don't do it. You know he can't write that. He wrote Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Take our script, dude. Come on, man. I really like Walk the Line. I'm a big fan. Hire me, please. Hire all of us. We'll write your script.
Speaking about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, getting back to Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I hope it doesn't end like that. Sorry. I want Indiana Jones to die in a nice warm bed.
Surrounded by his family.
If you get
surrounded
that by reference, short round. That's a Titanic reference. When Rose is gonna die. Mm-hmm. You're gonna grow old and die in a nice warm bed. So, fucking Leonardo DiCaprio says. So I say to Indy every time.
So getting back to the
cut that, what the hell?
This being the final installment thus far of the Indiana Jones intellectual property, you want to give us a synopsis, Tristan?
Man, this one's tough again. It's got Russians, and they find this magnetic skull, and they're like, wow, that's pretty cool. And Kate Blanchett is Russian, and she's like, this is a psychological weapon, let's use it. And then she gets fucked, dude. And Indiana Jones is old, and Shia LaBeouf is his son. This movie's not very good, in my opinion.
It didn't really make that much sense, but yeah, the Russians somehow take control of Area 51 for a little bit. And if you remember, in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, at the very end, they nail the box down and then they move with the Ark of the Covenant inside. Mm-hmm. And then they like the camera pulls out and you see these mountains of crates and it says something. I think it says Area 51 somewhere in there.
I think so.
And so that's where they store all these artifacts. Well, the Soviets have somehow taken control of Area 51 and they have kidnapped Indiana Jones. And then he helps them find this alien stuff, and basically it's a bunch of alien stuff that they're tracking down, and psychological warfare. The Russians want it for psychological warfare, and then it's a rip-roaring adventure through Mesoamerica, and it doesn't make sense to me.
And it's got CG monkeys in it.
Oh, I don't think that first one was.
Yeah, there's a gratuitous amount of CGI in this movie, and, you know, compared to the 80s when it's almost all practicals, this was a pretty big disappointment because it also just hasn't aged well.
Here's my thing about Spielberg. Spielberg is my favorite director. I love Spielberg. But the more I think about it and the more stuff that I've been seeing from Spielberg recently, like Ready Player One and stuff, I think my favorite director is pre-2000 Spielberg. The nostalgic stuff, the E.T., the Indiana Jones, even like the more serious stuff like Schindler's List. Like, I think that's my favorite Spielberg. And the recent Spielberg stuff is kind of, I don't want to say he's phoning it in, but dude's a billionaire. He's like, he just shit money now, you know?
I'm going to say he is phoning it in. Yeah. I think since The Terminal, he's just been phoning it in.
He does have some good, like, I liked Lincoln a lot, and that might be it. Because, yeah, Bridge of Spies was boring as hell. I saw The Post, and that was boring as hell. Spielberg needs to, I love him. I want to see West Side Story really bad, because I've been waiting for this for a long time. But I just want Spielberg to reach back into his heart of movie making and less about, like, big CG or slow period drama.
Let's go around and say who's the fake fan this week. Nicole, are you a fake fan?
Yeah, I'm definitely a fake fan of this movie.
I am a fake fan. I actually had a Lego set of one scene of this movie and had no idea how to connect it into any other IP, so I just kind of didn't really build it all together at one point, but yeah. Tristan, are you a fake fan?
I'm a semi-fake fan. I've seen this movie before. I remember watching it with my father on a box TV, so this is before we even had a fly screen, but I remember seeing it, and I remember the alien face, and I remember the refrigerator. I didn't like it then, and going into it today, I was like, you know, I was like 12 years old. I was heavily influenced by other people's opinions at the time, and I was hearing bad things about it, so I was like, oh, I'll just go with the flow. Maybe I'll give it another shot today, and I'm the same as I was before.
Yeah, Nicole, what did you think about the movie?
I'm easy to please, so I feel like I never really, like, hate a movie. I just like movies that have, like, so much lore in it, because I like to be in a world. So this movie was kind of, like, candy to me, because I was like, oh, my God. Like, we got Marion. She's my favorite one. Like, my favorite indie girl, for sure. I mean, she's, like, the most useful. Like, if we're going to count anything, she's the most useful. And then, like, he has a kid. That's crazy. I love that. Like, I like that. I like seeing him in, like, different relationships, like, the one with his dad, and that was really cool. My only gripe with this film is that, like, this film, Marion didn't feel as useful. Like, Tristan even said it, she felt like a set piece. Like, she was just there.
She was just like a fan service thing. She didn't really do a lot. She didn't have a lot of, like, motivations. She's mad at Indy, and then the next scene, they're, like, calling each other babe and honey. And it's like, okay, I don't feel like that resolved, but sure, let's just go with it.
And I just feel like too, when they're like, oh, so like this kid doesn't hold weight for you, and then they bring up Marion, and it's just like, well, where the hell did you find her? Like, how did you make this connection to that, like, yeah, with Indy and stuff like that? I don't know, it that felt like a hole there. Like, why was she all of a sudden involved?
I like how when Indy and Mutt are first talking in the diner, and Indy's like, what's your mom's name? And he says, Marion. And Indy's like, I don't know, there are a lot of Marions. I thought he was just saying that to be cool. I thought he was saying that to, like, save face or whatever. And then when Marion shows up later, he's like, dude, you met Marion from Raiders of the Lost Ark? And I was like, dude, come on. I thought you knew this, buddy. Indy's got some Alzheimer's, I think. I think he's starting to lose it.
God, wait, it's the fifth one. I don't know, man.
He's going to be like John Hurt's character. He's going to be walking around, and he's going to be like, I belong in a museum.
Indiana Jones 5, Heart of Darkness. Yeah. I don't even know what that would mean, but yeah. Ew.
What do you think, Calvin?
What do you think?
I don't know if I like this, you know, like, if you think about it as like a pass-fail kind of thing. Like, did this pass or did this fail? I mean, I think it kind of just failed. Because it just didn't have the same Indiana Jones magic to it. As far as the lore goes, I could understand it enjoying it, and I could understand it more if it's 2008 and you haven't seen an Indiana Jones movie since the 80s. You know, since like the 90s, it was the last time you maybe saw one, you know, on VHS or something like that. And suddenly in 2008, there's a new Indiana Jones movie. And you go into the theaters, and oh my God, they're connecting all the lore. Oh, Sean Connery, his dad's dead. The statue of that one guy
Marcus.
Yeah, of Marcus they crash into that. You know, if you could connect all the lore and all that and have fun with that, I could understand that after, like, you know, a decade or two of not having seen one. But unfortunately for us, we just saw the last Indiana Jones movie like last week and the week before that, so we don't have that kind of fresh. Wow, they get to connect all these things. Yeah, it didn't have the same magic. Part of it's just because Indiana Jones, I mean, Harrison Ford is old now, and he just can't do the things that he could do. The action sequences are slower. Like, I was thinking, like, it's kind of like The Irishman, where, like, the fight scenes were like, oh, that's a fight scene. Right, okay. Yeah, Robert De Niro is actually kicking him in the face. Right.
Like stomping him on the curb, and he's, like, barely lifting his leg.
Like, the action sequences aren't as great, and they're trying to offload some of that action-y stuff to Shia in this movie, but Shia doesn't really... Shia's okay at it, but I can't say that I enjoy Shia's either role as well as action as much as I do the old original Indiana Jones stuff, honestly.
I just don't see Shia as like a swinging from the trees action person.
He's hitting his stride more in like the smaller, like character driven things. Yeah. I think. Like I saw Honey Boy, and that was pretty good. He was really good in that. It's like more of a dramatic thing. Yeah, he's definitely... I've never seen the Transformers movies. But I mean,
I haven't really seen Transformers movies, but any like clips or like little trailers, he just looks kind of goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, he does feel goofy.
Maybe because I grew up watching him and Even Steven.
Yeah, I read that he pulled a Liam Neeson from The Phantom Menace, and he accepted it on name recognition on Indiana Jones and Spielberg without reading the script. So he just kind of was blind into it, like Liam Neeson in The Phantom Menace was.
And then also in the screenwriting, I think his character was just wasn't that great. I mean, the first time we meet him and he's like talking to us in this diner thing, the screenwriter just copy and pasted like 50 top phrases from the 50s. Like, my mom had a cow and, you know, she was so P.O. and like all these like little quips from like the good old, you know, small town America, USA type things. And
made the boomers smile, you know, make the boomers smile.
Yeah, it was like really just way too much, and this character just kind of came off as plastic right away in the beginning, to me at least. I mean,
I was thinking about that. Will says this about The Phantom Menace, and I highly disagree, but I think it fits more with this. If you strip the name Indiana Jones off the movie, it's a fine late 2000s action film. I think it's because it's an Indiana Jones movie and you have so much expectations for it, then it's like bad. But if you look at it just like a plain action movie of an old, like retired action adventure person, he meets his son and it's like his new mentor, then like, okay, it's a fine, forgettable 2008 action movie that maybe you'll catch it on TV and be like, oh, I haven't seen this in a while. Let's check this out again.
You know what it reminds me of? Okay, so I feel like it's probably a little lackluster because in 2008, Indiana Jones was, like, how we feel now, like, this amazing, iconic movie. So you go into it with super high expectations, and it is probably a little weird. But it kind of reminds me of, like, The Incredibles. Like, how everyone was so excited about The Incredibles, and, like, Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Incredibles 2. And from what I hear from other people, it, like, isn't that good. So I feel like people just hold it to, like, this, like, semi-impossible standard for good reasons, but, like, mm-hmm. you expect it to feel like the first one, but it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, and there's, like, literal time in between it. Like, from the last Indiana Jones and then to Crystal Skull, like, there's just so much, like, buildup of, like, Indiana Jones.
Yeah, you got, like, 20 years of, like excitement.
Yeah, of, like, he's so excitement. Iconic.
Yeah, I get that. But there was a movie that was, like, high up there. It was, like, oh, it's nominated for Oscars and stuff, and I saw it, and I was super excited. And it was bad, and I didn't like it. And ever since then, I'm like, I don't want expectations for movies anymore. I'm just going to walk in. Just, like, erase my mind at the door. Put me in front of a screen. I'm big dumb. Big dumb.
Honestly, that's probably how I like even a lot of movies that, like, even Calvin doesn't like. Or, like, maybe, like, I don't know. I just go into it, like, for fun. Like, I guess I never... Mm-hmm.
For our Indiana Jones series, I've been dragging this movie for like the past 2 weeks. I've been shitting on it every chance I could. What were your guys' expectations? Like, were you about to just believe me blindly? Or were you like, oh, maybe he's overreacting? Or were you like, maybe it won't be that bad? Or maybe it's gonna be awful?
I always get that from Calvin of like, this movie sucks or like whatever. But like, I'll watch him anyway and I like it because I don't really have expectations for movies. I'm a literal viewer. Like, I'm there to look at it. I'm not a film student. Like, I don't like that. I don't think like that. My one letdown was, you said, like, Marion was going to be in there. And I'm like, she's my favorite. Like, I really like her. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, probably my biggest letdown in this movie was Marion. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, like, she was there at the end. I thought she would be there at the beginning, or I don't know, like tie her in somewhere closer.
I just wish she had something to do.
I know, besides driving.
Yeah. What about you, Calvin?
I don't know. I tried to wipe my mind beforehand, but it's just kind of impossible because, like, from the beginning, when they pull Indiana Jones out of the back of the trunk of the car, he looks old and sweaty, and it's just like, oh no, like he's not gonna be able to deliver. And then we go, we have that. They use this in every movie, I guess. They have the dean of the school knock on his door as he's teaching, and this time, because it's just so similar to last week's shot, it's like he just looks so old, and he's teaching, and like there's no way the students look at him sexually like they used to back in the last one.
They're not thirsting over him anymore, dude. They are quenched, okay? They are fully quenched.
They are dry. They are dried up.
Well, too, like, if you look in the... I feel like in the past movies when you saw the students, it was all girls. But this time it was, like, a mix of boys and girls in this. But they did make Harrison Ford look as good as they could. One, Indy wears a hat all the time, so you can't really see your gray hairs. Two, he was, like, tan for the gods. So, like, that always makes anyone look younger. Like,
that's true.
It always makes them look good. So, really... I only felt like, oh, he's really old when he got his hat off because you can see the gray hair. And he has suspiciously more baggy pants.
Yeah, that too. The baggy pants was like...
Like, why are they more noticeable?
get ready, dude, because this next movie is going to be like 14 years later.
I'm genuinely concerned. They got to do something. I don't know what they're going to do, but...
Harrison Ford is old. Like, Logan, Hugh Jackman is not old in that movie. He's getting older, but he's not old.
Hugh Jackman's only like 40 years old, so he can pull off the action sequences a little better, and it will make sense for an older character like Wolverine to still be able to kick ass. Dr. Jones is a World War II vet who's like 70 years old, okay? He's not going to be able to fight the Russians at this point.
You know, I think, too, like, I wonder, like, are they going to kill off Marion because, like, they're married now. So, and it's like, I don't know, like, the state of the actress of Marion right now. Like, is she still...
Do you think Indy's going to ditch Marion again in the fifth one? There's going to be a new Indy, and do you think Willie's going to come back,
maybe? Oh, fuck Willie. I wonder... that actress looked old for an indie girl. I'm going to be honest. Like, compared to the other ones, like, she looked old.
Yeah.
Well, she's probably dead.
They're just all old, and... They just know.
Well, no, Willie looked old in the movie. Like,
oh,
she actually looked old, like, to me in the movie, like, compared to, like, Marion or, then again,
the
like,
Nazi.
Yeah, Elsa, Princess Elsa, whatever the fuck. But, like, I just think, I don't know. Then again, Marion is technically supposed to be, like, his colleague's daughter. Like, if you think about that, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Abner? It's Abner's daughter.
Abner's daughter.
You guys like the aliens thing?
That was weird. I really don't understand where it was going to go, but I guess.
That's one of the reasons that I didn't. Because Indiana Jones is, I get how they, I get where they were going. It's the 50s, and they wanted to pay homage not only to the adventure films that they liked, but to the science fiction B-movies of the 50s. So that made sense where it could go that way. And they did tie it into a religion, like an ancient religion. But I don't know. Indiana Jones... It's like more of a mystical thing than an intergalactic thing. So it was kind of odd.
Yeah, like an earthly physical thing, like the Temple of Doom, or like that's actually tied to the people as a religion, not like the religion are these aliens.
And it goes back to what you said about losing the magic, because the magic is more of an earthly religious magic versus an intergalactic thing. I also thought that the colors in it were like more of a cold. This movie felt colder than the last ones. It's got like the... I mean, because it is in, like, the deserts and stuff, but it does have, like, the warmer, like, tones to it. And this one, when the FBI is interviewing Indy after the refrigerator fiasco, it looks like a Harrison Ford espionage movie, like The Fugitive or something. It doesn't look like an Indiana Jones movie.
And this is really disappointing for me for Spielberg to have done this, but he kind of opts out for the... gold or orange and blue color scheme that you see in like every late noughties to like even today movies, blockbuster movies. Yeah, I mean, if you go through and just like look at movie posters for action movies, you'll often see them use the orange and blue color scheme. And you could really tell that they're doing that with like some of the scenes in Indiana Jones's house. Like the sun's coming through and everything's orange and their skin is orange, but then the shadows are blue. And that's just like a really cheap like cop out. Like, and for someone like Spielberg to do that and not like a Bruckheimer or something like that, like it's really disappointing because this is Indiana Jones and he's opting out for like a cold, blockbustery in a bad way, color scheme that's just doesn't give us the magic of the Indiana Jones series. And on top of that, like, because this is about aliens, which are inherently high tech and futuristic, you know, they got flying saucers. Like, yeah, they should. Sure, they're ancient, but to the context of what you're creating, they're inherently high tech and inherently futuristic. They're not ancient in any, like, phenomenologically way, you know? Whereas Temple of Doom, it's like these actually ancient Indians and Hindu religion type stuff, mysticism, actually ancient Egyptian stuff. And instead of saying like, oh, actually, the Mayans built a spaceship, it's ancient actually. Like, you know,
well, that's like, okay, listen, I'm in like the ancient aliens corner over here. I like love Giorgio. If you know Giorgio, if you know, you know. But like, to me, like, that is already like a like conspiracy, like a thought in my head is like they built the pyramids, they helped like the Mayans and the Incas with their pyramids. So like me going into this, I already like knew like, oh yeah, that's like a super classic conspiracy theory. Like, did you like know that?
Yeah,
like,
I know that it is a conspiracy theory, but I'm saying like because these aliens are high tech, they're inherently futuristic. Even if it's not like the times you expected. Yeah, like just because they're ancient in like a timeline sense, like they were here 1,000 years ago. It'd be like if they walked into the spaceship and there's a bunch of computers that you could say, oh yeah, these computers are 2,000 years old, but they're like the way that we experience. Yeah, it looks futuristic, aesthetically futuristic. Indiana Jones is now in a way that we're experiencing. He's in the future essentially. And that's the problem with having aliens in this story, where normally he's going to like a low-tech world. He's going to an ancient world that has some kind of mystic truth to it that we as modern Western humans have forgotten. And now we can't see the magic behind it anymore. And that's what these ancient worlds and their mysticism is reminding us. They hold the truth. You know, the history holds the truth. Now it's like we go in, now these aliens hold the truth. And so it's not even human. And two, it's high-tech, so it's kind of like, this is sounding really academic, but it's not like a rebuke of how we think we're so advanced, but in reality we're not. It's more like, oh, we are advanced and we just have to get more advanced like the aliens, you know? I'm just saying, the aliens just threw it all apart. The aliens are just a bad choice.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't like it. I mean, sure, the villain's head blew up at the end, which is what I expect from my Indiana Jones movies. But it was an alien. What the frick? I like the idea of like the ancient ideas of gods as like interdimensional beings, because like you see this like as an ancient person, you see this being come down from the heavens. Like, okay, I think that's interesting in like the Marvel movies, how they have Thor and Loki, like the ancient Norse people saw them as gods because they came from the sky, even though they don't consider themselves gods, the ancient people did. So if they kept that idea, fine, that's cool. I don't know. It was just something about seeing the alien. It was weird.
Like,
and the CGI was really bad.
Yeah, like when they all came together as like one alien, and it was just like, what the hell? Yeah.
I don't know. I want the mysticism. I prefer the religious mysticism over the intergalactic mysticism.
Like legit archaeology, like archaeological facts.
Yeah, yeah, like facts. Mysticism and not like sci-fi in a sense, you know, like because with the aliens, it was kind of like, oh, is this now like a realm of science and not like mystical spirituality? There's like a weird, I don't know. It confuses the whole thing.
This movie feels like it has to tell you that it's atheist. It's like, hi, I'm an atheist. It's like, okay, you didn't have to tell me that, buddy.
I'm set. I'm all set.
Yeah, it is, for an Indiana Jones movie, odd. Regular generic action movie, fine.
Well, that about does it for this meeting. Tristan, you want to give us our closer?
Yeah, thanks for joining us for this week's meeting of Fake Fans Anonymous. If you join us in the back, we'll have melted mannequin heads today. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
In the refrigerator.
In a refrigerator.
So some milk.
Five, four, three, two, one.